This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, and welcome to the Song Facts Podcast, and Happy New Year. It is 2023. We are entering our third year of doing this show, which is just incredible. I think we might actually hit our 100th episode later this year. I'm going to have to double check that and see if my math is correct, but hoping you all had a very happy holiday season and are just enjoying the beginning of this new year. We're going to make it a great one, and we can't wait to introduce ourselves and hopefully you to a bunch of new music. As always, big shout out to the guys over at the Pantheon Podcast crew. All your musical podcast needs can be found right there. So on the first show of the year, I am so pleased to have Nicholas and Brian, the duo who make up the singers and songwriters of Francis Luke Accord. They have an amazing new album called Safe and Sound, which is being released for your listening pleasure on February 9th. And today we get a chance to hear how they came together as a band in college. We get to hear them banter about a couple of songs and how those came together. Fun fact, they don't always agree. And of course, we get the stories behind some of the tracks off of the new album. I'm terribly excited about this show and looking forward to starting the year off right with the Song Facts Podcast. So please sit back and enjoy Francis Luke Accord.
No time to hide, open up your eyes. We will not.
Okay, well, let me just kick it off then. I really appreciate you guys coming on here, and welcome to the Song Facts Podcast. Are you guys familiar with the Song Facts website by chance?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, an amazing database of stuff. It's something that before I started doing this show, like, I would frequent it just because it's one of those places where you hear a song, you're like, what the hell is that about? And then I would just like automatically go to that, and 9 times out of 10, they had it. So then when I pitched the show idea to the editor, it just rang true with me. And I've been listening to this new album a lot over the last month. My wife and I were just down in Panama for some travel and doing a little bit of work down there. And I got to tell you, this music with a cup of coffee, a nice ocean breeze, it just hits. So good work on that. I don't know if that was the vision you had, but that's what it hit for me.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we hope that this, when we first started really pulling this whole record together, we were really hoping that it embodied some of the kind of like calm and peacefulness that we were trying to attain in our own lives.
It was birthed out of COVID for the most part, right? Like, there's chaos and you guys were trying to find some sort of tranquility and calm, it sounds like.
Yeah, some of the songs had been started pre-COVID, a number of them actually, but, okay. but yeah, during COVID was when a lot of it was recorded. And needless to say, COVID was a damn tumultuous time for the band. You know, we had been touring a whole bunch, you know, after our debut record Fluke came out in 2016. You know, finally gotten an agent in December of 2019, promptly lost that agent in April of 2020 with COVID. And so it was like, oh shit, how do we continue this, you know, without, income from touring and yeah, so lots of external anxiety. And so trying to find some internal, you know, calm in the music was, you know, definitely. Yeah.
And I think like
both seeking.
Obviously the vibe of the album and just like the tranquility of it that I keep coming back to, that's the kind of word that pops into my head as I'm going through it track by track. It does that. It's just a very calming thing. I think for me, it's just a perfect thing to just like start my day with. And I really like that because not all music finds that place right away in the morning. And but I want to go back a little bit before we like start really jumping into the album. And I want to just kind of, I always really enjoy learning about how people came together creatively. So Brian, why don't you tell us how the two of you came together and started playing? It sounds like it was kind of a college thing.
Yeah, it was. We met at the very end of high school, actually. We both went to rival Catholic high schools in South Bend.
Amazing.
He was dating one of my good friends, and that individual is no longer in the narrative of the band. But anyways, we went to college together then in South Bend. And yeah, just our mutual love of songwriting, I think, you know, drew us to each other. And then we also have pretty remarkably similar kind of backgrounds. It's kind of funny. Both of our moms are from California, the Bay Area. Both of our dads are from the Midwest. So there is, I think, a good bit of value alignment, you know, which is important when you're, you know, not only writing with somebody, but also, you know, in business with somebody. It's like, there's got to be, you know, it's just important. Anyways, so yeah, I think it's definitely came together in college. And we've just, you know, consider ourselves to be really lucky to have been able to do it for this long. And you know, it's a gift,
as someone who played music for a long time with one of my like good friends that I think I met like freshman year in high school, there is something to that. We kind of learned our instruments together and then branched off into songwriting and doing things like that. And it makes me just kind of wonder if you guys have any memories of some of the early sit downs and playing together in jams that you just kind of realized, oh, something different here is connecting. And maybe Nicholas, you can take a stab at this one, because you play music with a lot of different people, but there's not always that chemistry. And you guys obviously have it. And I'm wondering if you can remember like, oh, we just found something here, if there was that moment.
Yeah. You know, Corey, I really appreciate that question. We literally just on our last tour in September, I think Brian popped out a CD that was just lost underneath the seat of his car like a long time ago, and we popped it in, and it was like all of the old stuff that we'd worked on like before we were ever a band.
Oh,
really.
Amazing.
And yeah, it really was a trip through memory lane. and that was like that was a time in our lives when, again, like we hadn't started the band, but we were sort of getting to know each other through our music, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know that I could put my finger on like one thing or another about the music per se. I think it was just more the confluence of like a lot of different factors, one of which was definitely just like the fact that we were in South Bend, Indiana, and there weren't that many people that interested in songwriting and song, you know, production and figuring out how to tour and that kind of a thing. We were, you know, far away from a lot of that stuff still at that point, but it was kind of a meeting of ambition and inspiration and vision that pulled us together and sort of kept that engine going and going and going until we eventually decided to move to Chicago together and just, you know, really commit.
Yeah. And I mean, I think from a songwriting perspective, it's like what you said, if you guys are on polar opposites and someone brings a song in and you're like, I don't resonate with that at all, you know, that's got to be something that's very much considered. And then the other thing that I think of is, are you guys both multi-instrumentalists? You guys kind of, if there's a string on the instrument, you guys can sit there and figure it out for the most part, because there's so many different instruments going on and they all blend together really well. So when I was listening to it and trying to like imagine you guys playing early on, I'm like, does someone come in strumming a song and then someone's a natural finger picker that just adds this nice melody to it, and you guys just kind of had this kind of meshing? Or is all that stuff really kind of more thought out than more organic, I guess, is my question.
Well, let me take this, Nick. So yeah, Nick is a phenomenal studio producer, phenomenal musician across the board. So we are both multi-instrumentalists, but Nick is responsible for a lot of the production work, a lot of the layering that you hear, the richness of
a lot of the arranging.
Got it. Okay. And yeah, for anybody listening, Nick is coming to us from like a homemade soundproof basement in Philly right now. It just looks absolutely beautiful. And like, I just love that some stuff's still happening in a basement somewhere.
Don't look too close, Corey.
you can barely see him amongst the soundproof, really.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just pretty much swallowing him up.
The pillows all over. Yeah. And to continue on that point, yes, we are both multi-instrumentalists. And I think another one of the things that really got us going and like interested in being a band was in some ways the fact that we both really are native to guitar. Like we're very like guitar, acoustic guitar in particular is an instrument that we both started writing songs on. And I think in some ways having that as a sort of common ground to begin with was one of the things that allowed us to, especially once we moved to Chicago, start thinking about how to break that into different dimensions. And that was when Brian started playing mandolin, which is like, you know, a huge part of the signature sound, you know, of our recorded music, but especially of our live show. And other instruments like, I don't know, electric guitars. And I'm a huge fan of just like finding a new instrument or finding a new way to record an instrument. Sort of pushing at the edges, starting with like guitar, pushing at the edges of like what we could do with guitars, and then moving beyond guitars into like, you know, more complicated or complex string ensemble stuff.
Yeah. So Brian, when you were, did you teach yourself mandolin? Because I hear the mandolin throughout the album, but it's not the mandolin that I think people would traditionally think of. I think you bring a really unique phrasing to it, which I found like really refreshing.
Thank you. I would say unique is a generous term there. I'm such an amateur mandolin player. And, you know, when I hear bluegrass mandolin players play, I am full of envy every time. So my playing is definitely more textural, and yes, I started learning when we moved to Chicago, because it was kind of like, well, we can't just both play guitar all the time. It'd be boring, you know? So one of us has got to, you know, pick up the baby one.
Yep, exactly. Okay, so we're going to get into some of these songs. Now, the new album is called Safe in Sound, which I really like. I think that that's just kind of, this is just like a little nest of an album. There's just something just so like safe about it. It really is. You guys did a good job with that. It's dropping on February 9th. So it's going to be a few weeks after the release of this show. So make sure you guys check it out. As I said, I've been listening and just loving it. My wife as well. And did you guys record this pretty much entirely remotely? That was one of the things that I think I read, and that's fascinating to me. I wonder if you guys could touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, do you want me to take this question? Thank you, Corey. Those are really kind words. I'm really glad that you enjoyed listening to this.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was largely remote recording. A lot of the core tracking that we started from happened, was like a month before lockdown, I want to say, or like 2 months maybe before lockdown. No, not even actually. It was weeks before lockdown, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah, so we're looking at like February 2020.
Yeah.
We met up in Michigan in a house for a week and knocked out a lot of the core stuff. And then, yeah, the world shut down.
Right. So we needed to keep working on it. Obviously, you know, like we already talked about, the shift in, you know, production modality definitely put a damper on our pace a bit, but we, you know, just persevered through it. We just, you know, it's really easy to collaborate remotely now in music. It's not like, you know, it's 1980 and we're all trying to like send each other cassettes or something like that, you know. It's really easy. We now I feel like actually I should say we had been living apart for some years at that point, so we were pretty used to the process of sharing things on Google Drive and stuff like that. Obviously there's a huge difference between recording or writing and recording something and then sending it off to somebody to listen to later, as opposed to being in the same room and just like being in the same moment and experiencing that moment together. So that was the main challenge, I think, was like just making sure that through all of that, we were still unified in our vision and in what we, you know, in our desire for what we wanted out of the project.
Yeah, because feel and like the energy that's created is something that's really important. And I'm always curious, like I've recorded songs, like I'll do like a guitar track and send it to my friend and be like, can you add a drum track to this and do stuff like that? And I'm just like, I'm always wondering if that song would end up the same if you were in person. And I think if you really take your time and get meticulous with it, then it can. But I'm the reason that I don't continue to do music is because I'm not that meticulous. I just like to like sit down and like flutter away on a guitar or whatever I'm playing at the time. And just kind of like, I'm not that, I've never taken it full on seriously, which you guys obviously do, because I feel like the way you guys layer and texture things, everything is so well thought out and like produced really well. And obviously that's attributed a lot to what it sounds like Nicholas down in that amazing basement.
Although I will say, you know, the meticulousness can be our fatal flaw sometimes too. We definitely,
for sure.
Yeah.
We're not always good at choosing the right things to be meticulous about.
Yeah. There's a perfectionist thing. My wife's an amazing video editor, and that's something that I'm like, how do you know when it's done? Like, I think about painters and things like that. I'm like, when do you know that last brush stroke and just sit back and that's it? Like, I've never been able to, like, to me, I'm like almost like hurried at the end to just be like, okay, close the book, on to the next one. And to sit there and just continue picking away at things just isn't in my nature, but I think that it is for you guys, and it really shows. And this, okay, so let's start with this song, Sunnyside.
Take me, mom, take me, could you take me on down from my ring cloud. When I'm heavy, heavy as a rose of summer left out in the snow. Take me when I'm heavy, take me, mama.
You guys were nice enough to write down some blurbs that your publisher shared with me about each of these songs. And before I read those, I wanted to like go through and just kind of put one word or a couple words to each of the songs as I was listening to them. And a lot of the times, like for the songs that I've chosen to kind of ask you guys about, they did match up. The one thing that I wrote for Sunnyside was hope. And you guys kind of touched on that in your description as well. It's a beautiful tune. I absolutely adore it. How did this one come together?
So I was the primary writer on this one, and it took a long, it started on guitar. I think the initial lyrics that it started out as bluebird, oh, bluebird, da, 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 da. So it took a really long time to come, you know, to the lyrics that ended up being there. Mm-hmm. And like all of our, you know, tunes for pretty much, you know, it wouldn't be what it is, you know, without both of our brains pushing at it at a lot of different times and a lot of different angles. So yeah, I think a lot of that hope that you're calling out to Corey, it occurs in the third verse for sure. Which Nick definitely had a good bit of like, one day we will see eye to eye, you and me. I'm pretty sure that Nick, I remember being stuck at that moment, and then Nick came up with those lyrics and was like, oh yeah, that's definitely, that feels great there for sure. So yeah, definitely a tune that starts dark on top of this really warm, you know, loop, and ends hopeful. And I think we were both, I'm so glad to hear that, you know, it that song resonates with you, because I think we're both really proud of how it came out. And I definitely don't think it would be what it is had we not gotten a chance to work on it in the same room in Michigan right before COVID shut down. Because in that room in Michigan was one of our favorite violinists out there, Katie Van Dusen. And I think her playing just really, really opens that, like, you know, it's hard to picture that track being as emotionally deep, I guess, as it is without her playing on it. So I think she was a big piece to that too, but totally a team effort all the way around. I'm so glad you like it, Corey.
Yeah, absolutely. Nicholas, anything to add?
Only that I think this is a really good, I'm glad that Brian said that, because this is a really good example of how I think all of our best music happens. You know, it's got to start somewhere. It's got to start in one of our heads.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really fully take shape until it is really shared. And I don't mean like, oh, you show it to somebody and they give you your feedback. I mean like handing over the reins to somebody else to say like, yes, no. And that's like a huge part of our process. Even before a song gets on the table for a record, is that process of like sifting through the various, you know, ditties and voice memos and things that like that capture certain like components of a song, melodies or riffs or things like that, and then before we even develop it, we take it to the table and we take it to the other person and the other songwriter producer, and you know, do a thumbs up, thumbs down, and a bit of a, you know, sort of initial critique to sort of figure out what we want out of that tune, what we're hearing, other artists that are inspiring us, stuff like that. And that lasts through the whole process with all of the songs that we make. And I feel like that has come to really define how we work, and in some ways also why we are so meticulous. but I think that's the best way to be meticulous, is to like, when you get to the point where you feel like you've done what you can, or you know, or you're hitting a wall or something like that, that's where the other person comes in and can really, really pick the piece back up. And that was the story of every single song on this record.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the qualities of finding, one, a writing partner that you can, just a writing partner in general. And then two, someone that can almost like finish your sentences for you of like, I'm stuck here. They can pick up on what your theme is and then just like kind of round that out the way that Brian said that you did that with that last verse. And I don't know. I think that that's a really unique thing that not a lot of people run on. I mean, imagine having to like sit there and just grind away and finish that lyric on your own. Like,
yeah,
it could be torment.
We are lucky that we are good friends, you know?
Yeah.
We're like brothers, and that intimacy and that trust doesn't come, you know, to just any band or any, you know, just any partnership. And that, you know, the fact that we love and respect each other the way that we do is such a huge part of how we can continue to do it, because I mean there are some moments where we disagree and you know it can get dark too, you know. And that is part of it. That's part of the beauty of having somebody you trust and someone who like you said, you just you know intimately enough to sort of know you and to know your strengths and your weaknesses, and can help you along in that process.
Stay tuned for more Song Facts Podcast right after this.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out, because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once, new quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
The song that comes after this one on the album is called Maria. The word that I wrote down after I listened to the song a couple times, because it was a little bit, I couldn't quite grasp what I was feeling when I was listening to it, but I wrote down the word perspective. And then I came to the, when I read what you guys did, it sounds like this was written from the perspective of a child, or like that at least wasn't your own perspective. Is that true? And how did it feel to try? Like, I can't imagine trying to write from another perspective than my own. So I'm wondering if there's challenges involved in that.
Yeah. That's a great question. You know, I think, like, in many ways, you know, it's like any author, right? You know, you write what you know.
Yep.
On the other hand, writing about yourself is kind of boring, you know, and can be very like navel-gazy and solipsistic, and you don't, it's just like a fast track to being, to getting stuck.
Yeah.
Or writing emo music.
No hate against emo music, but
yeah. I mean, I think what I'm trying to think of is like, so when I was in a student in university, like we'd get assigned a paper and I'd be like, okay, this professor's about to have 30 of the same exact papers turned into him. So a lot of times I would go and be like, can I try and argue the opposite and turn in a paper of the opposite? And I would do that to try and give myself a challenge and things like that. I also went back to school in my like late 20s. So I was a little bit beyond just like being an 18, 19 year old who was just like going through the motions. I was looking for ways to challenge myself. And I'm wondering if that's like an exercise that you could do as a songwriter, is just to be like, you know what, I'm going to just, I have this idea in my head and I want to try and do it from this perspective and see what comes up.
Yeah. I mean, I would say initially that it's not like our primary goal, you know, to like, it's not like we start or set out too much of our writing with the intent to like inhabit a specific other perspective. I think it's more just that if you probe deeply enough into yourself, you start to find other people, you know, and I think that like, no, that happens a lot in our band because we share so much of the writing that inherently there's multiple people in the song right from the beginning. Mm. And so you can't go that far into, you know, your own, like specifically like your own personal way of looking at things without at least gauging it against or tempering it with something else that's bigger than that, that can, you know, that can sort of reach other people, which is, you know, the ultimate goal of writing music is to reach people and to have to find a connection there. And I think you just, you know, you do that by tapping into universal things, universal yeah. truths and universal experiences. So yeah, again, I feel like being a duo and sharing that songwriting is such a huge part of how that happens for our band.
Yeah. So let's use that info and talk about the making of Maria. Like, where did this song delve from? Because it is just like I think you guys wrote like this is a lullaby, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I started that song a very, very long time. It was one of the first pieces of music that we began for the record.
Yeah, late 2017, I'm pretty sure, is when
Oh, wow. Okay, that. This one's got, yeah. This is going to be like 6 years old at this point.
yeah.
And there are a couple of different versions of it already out there, actually. But yeah, go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, I think the one that ended up on the record was like seventh or eighth version of recording the song. You know, we didn't release all those versions, but it sort of took yeah. that many iterations to get to a place where we were like, this sort of feels and says, it feels like and says what we want, more or less. So yeah, I started that song.
Tell listeners that Nick is never fully happy with the end product, by the way,
100%, 100%.
More or less at the end.
Just hates putting that final stamp on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm that classic painter, Corey, that doesn't know when the final brush stroke is going to happen. Which is why I need Brian, you know. I think so. Originally, this song started as a bunch of things just slamming together in my mind. My partner is a scholar of ancient Judaism, and so there's like a lot of like talk about ancient scripture in our house, not from necessarily a confessional perspective, but from a historical, literary, sort of academic point of view. And I love that partly because I feel like, and this is something that I think Brian and I both believe, that, the best spiritual writing is poetic and is poetry in essence. And so I was thinking a lot about just a lot of different things that were coming from all sorts of angles, from ancient Buddhism to ancient Judaism and ancient Christianity. I was thinking of some ancient, or not ancient, some medieval Eastern European mythology as well. And it all kind of just, I was just writing a bunch of things and throwing them in and playing around with words, and all of a sudden the word Maria kind of came out of all of that. And it was right after Hurricane Maria had devastated Puerto Rico. And so there was, I don't know, I'm not even sure I could tell you exactly how we got to a song. It probably had a lot more to do with Brian's editing hand than my throwing spaghetti at the wall.
That's not my memory, actually. That my memory of this one is that Nick actually had it like, so all songs come differently, right? And yeah. often, you know, you can share a song at a point where it's 30% done, but my recollection is actually that Nick had Maria like at the 90 kind of percent finish stage when he first showed it to me. So yeah, I actually, yeah, I'm going to fully disagree with you on that, Nick. And some of the best songs come that way. They come really quickly. And I remember Nick telling me like, yeah, this one just kind of came to me one afternoon I remember the first two verses were pretty much done. That's what it was. The first two verses were done and you weren't sure what to do after that. And then we concluded that a third verse was needed.
Where the word Maria comes in, actually.
Which is where Maria comes in. But then you came back with the third verse pretty much there. You know, I think we had some small edits, but it was pretty much there. So I think, creativity is a weird thing, right? Some of the best stuff that you produce can come really quickly. And then you can struggle for, you know, literally years with other pieces. And they can turn out as like B's or C's. And Maria, I think, from my recollection, was one of those pieces that came really quickly to Nick. And I don't know, I think it's really beautiful because it came so fast.
Yeah,
I'm glad somebody remembers what happened. Somebody,
you know, they all get jumbled together over time. And I mean, but that's a testament to just patience with a song like that. I think that's something else that I would struggle with as a songwriter is like, I would just want, like, I'm so anxious to like put that final period on the end of it that I just to sit there with an idea for years and years and just wait for the remainder of it to come to me would be, I would probably struggle with that, even though I consider myself overall a pretty patient person. I would almost try and force it more so because I'd just be like, my brain maybe can't move on to the next chapter until I finish one. And it's like, I don't know, when you have an album, you've got 11 songs going at the same time. Like, I think that would just mess me up.
To your point, Corey, we definitely did have to force it at some point. And it was one of the reasons why there are multiple versions of the song.
Yeah.
it was less waiting for it to finish and more it pulling us back time and time again to continue the project. It was like we would leave it. We would want to finish it, and then something would bring us back to it, and we would say, maybe there's more to do here.
Okay. So, yeah, I like that. I mean, that's for the most part just being, oh, we haven't touched on this one in a while. Like, let's just mess around with this one and see what might happen. It seems to me that that's something that would more naturally happen in a studio session than like sending stuff across the country, though, which is an interesting idea to ponder. All right. I want to get your guys' opinion on a couple of things because I've kind of touched on two songs that really resonated with me. Do either of you, and Brian, let's start with you. Do you feel like there's a song on the album that when you listen to it, you kind of sit back and just kind of say, wow, like that's a level up for us as songwriters and creators?
Oh, man. I guess I'll go with the last track on the record because it's one that features our friends in Darlingside. It's also one that we struggled really hard with.
Oh, I've seen a cloud rain down in the flash of a light. I saw it all.
And so maybe not a level up for us as creators in a way, but just having those dudes who are, you know, they're kind of like our older brother band in a way, having them help us out with that tune and also sing on it. I think they just did beautiful work. And the end piece, I think, it just turned out in a way that we both are really proud of. And it took many iterations of failing to get there. So it's just, that is one that stands out in my mind that I think we're both really happy with how it turned out.
Nicholas, before you jump in, I'm going to make you dig into that a little bit. What about that is making you hit that? Because I tend to agree that's it's an amazing song and it's a hell of a song to end an album on. And I'm curious what it is specifically that you're kind of touching on there.
Definitely. I would say that was going to be my answer to the question as well.
That's fair.
And I think, you know, for a lot of the reasons that Brian already touched on, it was a collaboration with our friends and like a, you know, sort of older brother band. We had a lot of help producing that song with one of those members who helped us produce most of the record, really the whole record. But he's specifically Don Mitchell, who also mixed that track. And as the mixing engineer of the band, that was really nice. So there's that. But really more the essence, I think, of what you're talking about came from, again, waiting on the song. This was another one that that Brian had sort of pulled into the onto the table years and years back. And we had done multiple versions of it, like not maybe full, you know, LP versions, but we had put it together in various, you know, ways, arrangements and compositional sequencing and things like that. And that patience with that song, I think, is really how it got to where it is now. And again, yeah, that sharing of ownership and like responsibility on that song, I think really let that song do everything that we wanted it to, even though I don't think either of us could have envisioned exactly the way that it the way that it turned out from the very beginning.
Yeah, and like I think the original demo of that song was a good like 15 beats per minute faster than the final version. So just to give you an example, Corey, of how much this song did ebb and flow and change over the course of the original idea to the final piece. I think without patience, it wouldn't have turned out the way it did.
Yeah.
Without patience and also, you know, guidance from Don. And Don's guidance, you know, goes for the whole record. It took us a long time to make this record, and he was really instrumental in kind of shaking us in the right ways to get us to pay attention to the right details and ignore, you know, some of the things that you think are important, but in reality, you know, are just tripping you up and leading you down the wrong path. So Don really gets a lot of credit for how this record turned out, and also in my life specifically. So
I love it. Okay, so my last question for you guys is, in another opinion of where I should go. I've got a full year of conversations like this ahead of me, and I'm wondering who you guys are listening to. If you want to give me one or two names that I should try and get on this show that I should talk to about some songwriting, because I love it. Obviously, you guys are clued into some stuff that I might not be into. And I love trying to expose people who need it, like, and deserve it, like I think that you guys do. And I'm always interested to get that opinion.
Awesome. Can I start, Nick?
Yes. Don't be too excited.
I mean, Corey, you got to start with one of our best buddies, Chris DuPont. He's a songwriter from Ann Arbor or Ypsilanti, Michigan. And he's like James Taylor meets Sufjan meets, who would you say, Nick? Who's the third one? If we had to bundle Chris into three people.
James Taylor, Sufjan, and maybe really old classic Ryan Adams or. Or William Fitzsimmons. Maybe Noah Gunderson is another one.
An embodiment of all of them. Okay, I like that. I'll get that
phenomenal
name down.
Phenomenal songwriter, phenomenal dude, phenomenal guitarist. Yeah, he would be perfect for your show. Highly recommend. Sweet. Chris DuPont.
Let me jump off that point and mention another one of our friends, Siri Undlin, who goes by the musical name Humbert, who is really one of our favorite songwriters and is just sort of constantly both pushing at the edges of like what the sort of Midwestern folk sound is, but is really deeply rooted in the tradition of songwriting and has an incredible voice and is always just like always puts on a good show. Yeah, I would say Humbert.
Okay. I like this. That I've got these down. They're recorded. They will be on this show. So I will do my best to get them on this show. And then for people listening, go check them out on your own. This stuff's available to you. And guys, thank you so much. For people listening, again, the album is Safe in Sound, February 9th. Been a long time in the making for you guys. I'm sure you're anxiously anticipating it. We're gonna tour with this one.
Yeah, we've got some tour dates lined up on the East Coast and the Midwest this spring. So come see us. That'll be more later in the year. FrancisLucaCord.com.
Go check it out. Guys, thank you so much for your time and especially for the music. Really appreciate it. And let's have you on when the next album's ready.
Thank you, Corey. Thanks, Corey. Really appreciate really. You.
Thank you so much to Nicholas and Brian of Francis Luke Accord for kicking off our year right. These guys are awesome. I am loving this new album. It is called Safe in Sound, and it drops February 9th. And as always, for the stories behind the songs, go to songfacts.com, and we'll see you for the next one.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.